There we go. So the question becomes, were you there? The question becomes, would you tell the story, the greatest story ever told? The question becomes, why do we only talk about the resurrection, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus at Easter? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before you today. And Father, as we open your word and as we look at your word today, Father God, may we realize today that we have a story to tell. We're no different than the Apostle Paul who set out on the first missionary journey with Barnabas. Father God, Jesus Christ has impacted our lives for all of us who are believers. For all of us who have called upon his name and are saved, we have a story to tell. Father, may tomorrow we start this, telling a story like we've never told it before. Father, open up the hearts and minds of your people. Father, allow me to decrease and you increase. For your name to be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Never done a survey, but I guarantee you if I go to lunch tomorrow and was to poll the people that were at the lunch and ask two simple questions, or ask one question, I'd get one of two responses. The question would be, what was the first thing you were asked when you got to where you were this morning? Whether work, school, or whatever. And the question I believe, like I said, I haven't done the poll, but if I was to do this poll tomorrow, the question would be one of two things. What do you think of LSU? Or what'd you do this weekend? I'm not picking on LSU, but that's going to be the number one question asked tomorrow. Or the other question, what did you do this weekend? I want to give you a different response to answer it with tomorrow. I went to church. Well, why do you go to church? Because there was a point in time in my life that I called upon the name of the Lord and I was saved. Why do you go to church? Because though you may not believe it, I believe what the Word of God says. You know, I've struggled for years, almost 40 of them, of how to start that conversation. And then this week, watching that piece over and over again and watching the students prepare that piece, it's really very simple. What did you do this weekend? I went to church. You see, the Apostle Paul, he traveled around everywhere. Probably one of the greatest missionaries of all times. And today we're going to look at what is known as his first missionary journey. We're going to look at his travels to Antioch and what happened when him and Barnabas entered into the synagogue. The priest was reading the law and reading the scrolls and those things. And then all of a sudden, the floor was turned over. The floor was turned over to the Apostle Paul. If you will, turn with me to the book of Acts. Chapter 13. Verse 13 is what I just gave you a synopsis of, and then I'm going to pick up in verse 15. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent to them, saying, "Men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on or speak." So what did Paul do? He took every opportunity that he had right there. Paul stood up and began all the way back into the Old Testament. I'm not saying that tomorrow morning when you're asked that question, what'd you do this weekend, and you say you went to church and you expound on it, that you go all the way back to the Old Testament. Paul did. Paul reminded the church at Antioch of the things God had done. Read with me. Verse 16, then Paul stood up and motioning with his hand said, men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen. The God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with an uplifted arm, he brought them out of it. Now for a time of about 40 years, he put up with their ways in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he distributed their land to them by allotment. And after that, he gave them judges for about 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward, they asked for a king, so God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave this testimony. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart who will do all my will. Paul reminded them of what God had done for him. I guarantee you, if we opened a mic up right now and asked for testimonies of what God has done for you, could you not share at least one thing that God has done for you? So tomorrow morning, when that question is asked and you're asked, why did you go to church? I encourage you to respond with what God has done in your personal life. Be reminded yourself of what God has done for you. Then also, you can also go back, just as Paul did in the scriptures, and says, my God has supplied all my needs according to his glorious riches. My God has proven faithful from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Everything he said about Christ in the Old Testament, he fulfilled, and history proves it. The only thing that has happened, or that he said in the Bible that hasn't happened yet, is the book of Revelation. But by golly, I'm ready for it when it comes. And then there's going to pop a question, I think. This is just me thinking. It's going to pop a question of people asking, well, what happens in the book of Revelation? Well, Jesus Christ comes back. And for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord gets to go with him. And I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know that I've called upon the name of the Lord and I get to ride out with him. Do you? See how simple that is? You turn a Monday morning conversation into a gospel presentation. In verse 23, Paul identifies the promise of God through the seed of David, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. From this man, seed, according to the promise of God, raised up for Israel a Savior, Jesus Christ. After that, after John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John was finishing his course, he said, who do you think I am? I am not he, but behold, there comes one after me, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to loosen. Paul understood his role as a servant of Christ. Paul understood who Jesus Christ was. Question I pose to you, do you understand who Jesus Christ is? Do you understand today what God has done? Are you ready to give an account as Paul was? He was just sitting there like you were. I wonder if I would have walked in today, my throat's a little scratchy, and I would have called on somebody, I would have got up and read the text and then said, come up and give a testimony of what God says. And I'm not accusing anybody, because there was a time in my life I'd have ran out the back door. I'd have jumped in the vehicle and I'd have drove off as fast as I could. You'd have thought I was a NASCAR driver. But I wonder how many of us would be even ready to give an account in here. So you have the promise given. Then you have the promise fulfilled and the story told in verse 26 and 37. through 37. In verse 26, Paul gave them hope that salvation was sent to them. Read with me. Men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to you the word of salvation has been sent. For those who dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not know him, nor even the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, have fulfilled them in condemning him. I want to back up just for a moment in verse 27 and read one more thing one more time. Because they did not know him, nor the voices of the prophets, which were read every Sabbath. I'm going to ask you to just think about it this morning. Paul is preaching to in the synagogue to a room full of Jews. I have the privilege and opportunity this morning to preach to a room full of believers. Paul said something very bold right here. He said the words of the scribes and the prophets were read every Sabbath, and they did not believe. How many of us here today, this is a personal question, how many of us here today have been in here our entire life but never believed? Paul challenged the people in the synagogue. And as we continue to read, you'll see that he was bold, but he was harsh, but it was a harsh reminder. It wasn't that he was trying to be ill will toward anybody. He wasn't trying to hurt anybody's feelings. He was presenting the truth of the Word of God, that without Jesus Christ, and they were there. The students did a wonderful job of presenting the gospel this morning. The images that were on the screen were vivid images of what Jesus Christ did in Hollywood's depiction of what he did on the cross. But could you imagine from reading the passage of the suffering servant in Isaiah 53, could you imagine reading the Passion Week and it be even having the faintest strength to endure the very first part of what Christ did for us, let alone everything that he did for us? We have a story to tell. It's the greatest story ever. And Paul here just reminds them as we continue to read of the very harsh truth of the Word of God. Verse 28. And though they found no cause for death in him, they asked Pilate that he should be put to death. Now when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the tree, laid him in a tomb. And they laid him in a tomb. And verse 30 has my two favorite words in Scripture. I get excited every time that I read a passage of Scripture or a text, and I see these two words. And here's the two words, but God. Because something's about to happen. See, they thought Jesus was done, put away with, that the cause of Christ was done and over with, just like much of our world today thinks the cause of Christ is dead. I got news for you, but God. But God raised him from the dead. He was seen for many days by those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses to the people. And we declare to you good tidings, the promise which was made to the fathers. God has fulfilled this for us, their children. For us, their children. And that he raised up Jesus. As it is written in the second Psalm, you are my son, today I begotten you. And that he raised him up from the dead, no more to return to corruption. He has spoken thus, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Therefore, he also said in another psalm, you will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he served his generation by the will of God, fell asleep, was buried with his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up saw no corruption. That's the testimony. That's the story that we have the privilege to tell. It's the same one that Paul told. It's the same one that our generations before us told. I encourage you, if you have not read the book, The Case for Christ, or any of the cases by Lee Strobel, pick them up. He gives evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that helps you defend your faith. Well, there's no way somebody rose from the dead. Well, do you realize there's over 400 eyewitnesses to the fact that Jesus rose from the dead? Well, he didn't really die. He just fell asleep. Well, no, he was wrapped in grave cloths for 3 days. Somebody wrapped me in cloths over my head, I'd suffocate. So he gives you the causes to be able to defend the Word of God when you have that Monday morning conversation. When somebody says, what'd you do this weekend? I went to church. Why do you go to church? I believe in Jesus. Well, why do you believe in Jesus? And so on. He gives you every word to say. And then he petitions the story. I encourage you not to just tell the story, but I encourage you to petition the person you're talking to about a relationship with Jesus Christ, their own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Verses 38 through 41. Verse 38 points out that Jesus Christ is our justification for sin. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sin. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest what has been spoken in the prophets upon you. Behold, you despisers, marvel and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which you will by no means believe, though one were to declare it to you. Some would listen and heed what you have to tell them, verse 40, 41 shows us, but many will not. Does that give us an excuse just because they won't not to share the story? It shouldn't. Let them walk away. That's probably been the hardest thing in my ministry of 20 years, is investing in somebody than watching them walk away. Thinking that they were going to accept the message and the good news of Jesus Christ, they're going to be justified for their sins, and then one day they come in. I had it several years ago. It was almost a death blow to me. I had a young man that I was mentoring and sharing and investing in and discipling. He brought his friend with him. And here's what his friend said. I would never forget this moment. It was 4:20 on a Sunday afternoon in my office. And we're going through the scriptures, and he had just made a profession of faith. And his friend looks at him and says, and looks at me and says, this Jesus stuff just isn't for me. This Jesus stuff just isn't for me. His friend said, then why'd you raise your hand and let it be known that you wanted to be identified with Christ? He said, to get you off my back. I won't ever forget that moment, because I watched a student walk out without Jesus. And is there a possibility in his life that he can come accept Jesus? Yes. Do I still pray for him? Yes. But as far as I know, that last conversation I had was he did not want to identify with Jesus, and he walked out the door. Paul says many will listen, but many will walk away. Here's what my encouragement is to you. And there's not much of an encouragement. Let them walk. Because until they're ready, you're just forcing it. Point number four, the promise is a gift for all. The word of God, the word of God is contagious, and people want to hear it. Verse 42 reads this. So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. He was in the synagogue. The Gentiles are on the outside of the synagogue. They hear what Paul is saying. And as Paul is walking out, people are begging, the Gentiles are begging him to preach the same message next week. What if tomorrow morning you have that Monday morning conversation, and that person walks away, but another one comes up to you after you say you go to church, and after you share your faith, and after you share what Jesus means to you, another one walks up and says, I've been miserable my entire life. Can this Jesus do the same thing for me that he does for you. You never know who's listening. You never know who's going to say, can you please share with me? Because that's what these Gentiles do in verse 42. Would you please come back next week and share with us? I wonder what any pastor on Sunday morning would do if somebody walked out and said, could you share that message at my luncheon this week? The same message? Yeah, the same message. I remember in 04, the year Nicole and I got married, I went on my first international mission trip, and I went to Mexico. I preached Jesus, John 3:16. I preached the cross. Don't ever use whooped with a translator in Mexico. They don't know what whooped is. Preacher said, I need you to come with me. I went to another church. He said, preach the same thing you just preached. Never been asked that before. Well, then I go to La Playa. In Spanish, La Playa is the beach. And this is 2 days later. He said, remember what you preached Sunday? Yeah. I want you to preach it here. I'm thinking, man, I never preached the same message or been asked to preach the same message 3 times in a row. And then we went to one other place, and he said, I want you to do it one more time. By the 4th time, I realized that my translator was not going to understand whoop no matter how many times I said it. But what an encouragement to us as believers that we have the opportunity to share the story, the greatest story ever told, with people, and we can impact somebody around us that's not even a part of the conversation because they're eavesdropping, because we all want to know what the conversation is. And then because they were eavesdropping, you get the opportunity, would you please share with me what you just told John? Would you please share with me what you just told Sue? Would you please tell me what you just told Bob? And the one you were working on, the one you thought was going to be the one to accept Jesus Christ, may do it later, but you planted that seed, and that seed of the Word of God is in them, and you petitioned them, but then another one listened. And they came to know Jesus. Everyone was hungry for the Word of God. Now, when the congregation had broken up, verse 43, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in God's grace. Here we go, verse 44. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul. Let's focus on 43 and 44. Paul spoke to the Jews on the outside, on the inside of the synagogue. The Gentiles were on the outside. They begged him to come back. And what did they do the next Sabbath? They brought the whole town with them. What about next Sunday if this entire place was so packed that we had to move the church outside to present the word of God? All because you had a Monday morning conversation. All because you told the greatest story ever told. Verse 45, and I already read it. You will have opposition. Opposition will come even sometimes from the most likely places, unlikely places. You're thinking, man, this guy really gets me. Then you share you're a Christian. Bing, gone. They didn't know that part about my life. Or then you start sharing Jesus and people start opposing you and doing exactly what the religious leaders of the day did to Paul and Barnabas. They start blaspheming, contradicting everything you're saying. Here's my encouragement. Remain faithful. Paul told Timothy, fight the good fight. Press on. Push forward. God's got people out there that want to hear the word of God. Keep pressing on. Keep sharing the truth. Study and know everything that you can know, so that you can be a good soldier in the fight. You may not have been there, but one thing nobody can take away is the day of your salvation and what happened to you on that day. You may not have been there as the students, again, beautifully presented the crucifixion, the scenes, and the images showed us. You may not have been there to see all that, but you were there the day that you got saved. August 1st, 1996, top of Lookout Mountain, I received my call to ministry. I won't ever forget it. won't ever forget it. Number five, the story of the promise was boldly proclaimed. In the face of opposition found in verse 46, it may be required for the message to become bolder and more pronounced. Verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you rejected it and judge yourselves unworthy of the everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, I set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of God. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. Verse 49. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the regions. But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city and raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region, but they shook off the dust from their feet against them, came to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Verse 48 shows us the people who accepted the promise will believe and be filled with joy and share the story too. Verse 49 shows us as the story is shared, it will spread. Isn't that amazing? When you tell a story, it spreads. I even heard this morning, again, not picking on LSU, but as I walked the halls this morning, I even heard, well, remember when they had that long winning streak? They even faced Saban in the national championship game. And then ever since then, it's been this. And as an Alabama fan, I could put some sway to that. I could put some sway to that. But here's the idea behind it. The message is still being told. Even in your own personal testimony, it may not be just like my testimony. It may not be like the person sitting to your right or to your left. But as you tell the story of Jesus and as you share Jesus with people, the story is being told and it becomes contagious and everybody wants some. Everybody wants some. So let's get out and let's share the story and let's get bold with our story. The world's getting bold with their message. Let's get bold with ours. Let's fight it with everything we are, and here's what we are. This should define us. And here's the other part. Here's the last point. The story of the promise spread withstanding persecution. I already read to the end of the chapter, so let's summarize this point. If you share the story, opposition and persecution will come. And remember, opposition sometimes comes from the most unexpected people, as well as persecution comes in many different forms. You may not be put to death because you were in church Sunday morning, like some of our brothers and sisters around the world. But you may lose a friend. Well, that's not persecution. Depends on how close that friend was to you. You may get talked about. Well, that's not persecution. I got big shoulders. Well, like I shared with the students last week about the tongue, for every one negative thing says, it takes 7 positive things to overcome that one negative. So why do we come together and meet? To gain encouragement. Why did Paul and Barnabas stand up in the beginning? Because the religious leaders of the day and the ones that were running the synagogue said, stand up and give us some encouragement. Boy, I bet you they didn't ask that a second time. Paul and Barnabas were expelled from the region, and what did they do? They stood up, brushed the dirt off, and they continued to share the story. So in the face of persecution, what will you do? Will you stand up will you brush off, and will you continue to share the story? Again, opposition and persecution will come, but remember verse 52 says this, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. James says, the students who study in the book of James at 5:30 with one of our youth leaders, in the opening parts of James, it says, count it all joy when you face various trials. So here, let me, not to take away from the word of God, but let me play with words for just a minute. Count it all joy when persecution comes your way. Dust off, stand up, and carry on. And share the greatest story ever told. And share the greatest story ever told. So, you see the points in summary. What will you do with them? In conclusion, three things. Number one, have you accepted the promise, Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you haven't done that, that's what we need to get right. You need to get right first, because you don't have a story to tell. Then if you have, will you commit this week to share the story with at least one person, even if it means you face persecution or opposition? Because number three, the story is worth telling, and the story needs to be heard. Father God in heaven, we come before you. Father God in heaven, we hand this time of invitation to you. Father God, we ask that your will would be done here, that you would be glorified and lifted up, Father God. And Father God, that we would tell the story. That we would tell the story. The greatest story that ever be told, the God story, Father God, about how you came on earth. How you provided for every need that we have. And Father God, how you have found the forgiveness that we need. And that's in your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, may your will be done today. Father, may we carry this story out of here. Father, may we not wait till that Monday morning conversation. As we go, Father God, some of us to restaurants to eat. Father, allow us to tell the story of Jesus Christ at the restaurant that we're at. Father God, may you be glorified and may you be lifted up. Father, may your will be done in this time of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand.